We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I just want to start off with your Baylor Bears, because when they lost, they could have felt sorry for themselves, but the way they rose up with that important win, I'm really impressed with that Art Briles offense. Is it, how much of it is system and how much of it is talent?
Well, I think you have to, Rick, I think you have to have the talent to run the system, but I think you're right. I mean, a big part of it is the place, the things that Art Briles has in place. I mean, you know, everyone was marveling about RG3, and rightfully so. And then, you know, Bryce Petty comes in and does the exact same things. And then Seth Russell did it great. And then Jared Stidham came in until he broke the ankle, did it great. And now you have a wide receiver who was a third string quarterback come in and help them in a huge win at Oklahoma State. So I think they're going to do just fine Friday against TCU. It is a real testament in many ways on a much lesser level. I want to be clear about that. But it's very similar to what is happening in New England. You know, you have everybody but Tom Brady go down with injury, and it doesn't matter. They're still 10-0 because of the system that's in place in New England. And it's very I think, prudent to look at that and compare it to the system that's in place with Art Briles and Waco and the things that they've been able to do no matter what happens.
Very interesting. All right, getting to the teams here. Of course, the big news this week in the Bay Area football-wise was the end of the Colin Kaepernick era, more or less, and how much of it was the team, how much of it was Cap. I guess he went out and found his doctor in Vail that told him what he wanted to hear, that he wasn't getting out of the Stanford doctors. But have you ever seen a guy who was, I mean, Jaworski said a year ago, this might be the greatest quarterback in history, to now they don't even want him in the building?
Yeah, I think Ron would probably want that statement back at this point, if you could go back in time and say, that's my broadcasting mulligan. But, you know, you need to look no farther than the guy we were just talking about, RG3. I mean, look at 2012. RG3 was the rookie of the year, and everything was going great in Washington. They won the division. And, you know, Cap took the 49ers to the Super Bowl, and suddenly neither one of these players are not only not wanted, they're basically persona non grata on their teams. And you have to think RG3's played his last game in D.C., and it sure seems like, for all practical reasons, Colin has played his last game as a Niner. And the thing with both of these players, I think you can point to, is that at some point you have to prove that you can do the next level of things. Look, the running game to me for a quarterback is like the nuclear threat in global thermonuclear war. You want the option of it, but you really don't want to use it, but you want the other guy to be scared of it. And once you took away, with both Colin and RG3, his ability to run, get outside the pocket, and do those kind of things, and make him win from inside the pocket, well, neither one of those quarterbacks has shown they can do that yet. Is it possible that they could? Absolutely. But they haven't shown it yet. And I think both Colin and RG3 are going to have to go somewhere else and a different team and prove that they have the ability to do that. But you've taken away, because you have tape on them both, of what their strength is, and now you need to show, if you're one of those players, that that's not all I can do. I can elevate my game and add this extra dimension, which they haven't.
Yeah, I guess we need to remember that Rick Meyer was NFL Rookie of the Year, too.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
3 years in the NFL is a long, long time.
No doubt about it. All right, in Oakland, when they were 2-3, we thought, okay, at least they're building, they're accountable. They win 2 in a row, they get to 4-3, and then Raider fans, after 13 years of doldrums and high expectations, it's like, great, it's all about this year. And then they lost three in a row after that. Did we start the party a little bit too early in Oakland?
I don't think so. I think this is sort of the process of building with a young team. Look, the talent is there. I mean, Derek Carr, before last Sunday, had 21 touchdown passes and 25 career starts. Those are the exact same numbers as Tom Brady. So those are the numbers you're looking for. That's what you want. You draft a Khalil Mack. You draft an Amari Cooper. You get a Clive Walford, who's been up and down, but he's showing some promise. You have talent. You have a front office that's smart enough to bring in a guy like Michael Crabtree. The pieces are in place. It's just a matter of taking time to put it together. Look, the Raiders should be more optimistic than they've been since 2002, honestly. It's just not that easy to flip the switch. And they'll figure it out, because I think there are about 20 teams that would say, I'll take Derek Carr over my starting quarterback now because of his age and what they think he can do. It's just a matter of building on what we've seen, and there are going to be bumps in the road. And have there been some ugly losses? Absolutely. The one in Detroit was really bad. But I think that you have to believe those players that we've seen do the things that they've done. We'll figure it out. It's a maturation process. And, you know, I think we're spoiled sometimes when we see what Andrew Luck does and comes in and does well, and what Russell Wilson has come in and done well, and what even Cam Newton did a year before has come in and done well. Those are the outliers. That's not the normal. And I think with the Raiders, it's going to be a little more of a normal process. But I even with the 3-game losing streak, I'm still buying Raiders stock and Derek Carr stock. I'm not selling it.
I agree with you. The hardest position to find is the quarterback, and they've done that. Rick Tittle and John Baker with Trey Wingo of ESPN here on the Dame and Bruce Show. A couple more questions for Trey. You mentioned Amari Cooper, and at the beginning of the year, I remember watching a broadcast where Chris Sims said that he was going to go to the Hall of Fame, and I'm like, wait, hold on a second. Don't put him in there just yet, but a fantastic start. Lately, he's looked a little lethargic. He has had a lot of drops. And, you know, I remember Jerry Rice's rookie year had a lot of drops, too. So I'm not really worried about the drops. But last game, only 4 targets, 2 drops, 1 4-yard catch. And a lot of people say, well, maybe he's slowing down. But yet there are other rookies that aren't slowing down. We just have to remember that this guy was in the SEC less than a year ago. What is it with Cooper right now, you think?
Well, I think that's a big part of it. Look, the rookie wall is a real thing. I mean, at best, you play 13 games as a collegiate player. You know, at minimum, you got to play 16 in the NFL, and you hope to play 3 or 4 more. So that is a real dynamic that you have to account for and understand, especially when someone like Amari, who has flashed so early. Same thing we said about Colin and RG3. Okay. This is what we think you can do. We're going to try and take that away from you. And you've got to weigh, you as the offense of the Oakland Raiders and the coaching staff, as well as the player, have to figure out a way to make sure we can put you in positions to succeed, because they're going to take away the things that have been working. So it's part of the rookie wall. I think it's part of what having that much film to look at and break things down and see what he does well and see what he doesn't do so well. And it is a process. Look, Cooper's going to be fine. I can't say for sure he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, but I think he's going to be a very good receiver. Ben Roethlisberger, his rookie year as the quarterback for the Steelers, he was cruising along, and then it absolutely ran out of gas late. They sort of limped him through a couple of playoff games before losing to the Patriots in the AFC title game that year. The wall is a real thing, and the amount of effort that's required to play this game both physically and mentally for 17 weeks as opposed to 13 weeks is a real big, that's an extra month of football. Think about it that way, just in the regular season, when you're normally like, okay, I can take a break now and rebuild and regenerate. Well, you don't get that opportunity. You just got to keep grinding out ways to win.
Finally, Trey, on a national scene, Johnny Football is always in the headlines, and now after being seen having a drink or two and betraying the trust of what the deal he made with his employers in Cleveland, he's now a third-string quarterback. And so people are now thinking, where could he go next? And the obvious guy we talk about is Jerry Jones. You know, he said he almost drafted him. And then you look at Whedon and Castle, they didn't really fill in. And, of course, they made the right choice in taking Zach Martin. He goes all pro.
Right.
If it wasn't for that homeless guy that told Haslam to draft Manziel, who knows what would have happened. But where do you think Johnny Football is going to end up next year?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because the guys that are in charge of his future in Cleveland right now are probably very much up in the air, and GM Ray Farmer and head coach Mike Pettine. And, you know, it's a legitimate question to ask. Well, hey, come on, it was his bye week. He was just out having a good time. What's the big deal? And that's a fair question to ask. But the answer is, well, whatever it wasn't what Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer and that coaching staff expected from Johnny Manziel, because there was nothing illegal in that video if it was over the bye week. And, of course, you know, Johnny could have erased that by saying it wasn't over the bye week. Instead, he said videos can be old, and that one I hadn't seen it, which is a great way of using a non-denial denial. But whatever he told them in those meetings, it was disappointing to what they had for him and what the expectations they had for him. I thought Pettine's remarks today were great when he said, you lose trust in buckets and you gain it back in teardrops. And for whatever the situation and the agreement was between the front office and the coaching staff with Johnny, he violated that in some way. where he is next year, you know, there's going to be someone. It only takes one. And there, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much hope in this league. But the thing with Johnny is you got to remember, at some point, it's a physics equation. You know, the way he wants to play and run around and expose himself to injury is not sustainable over the long term. You know, we say this a long time. You see a lot of young running quarterbacks. You don't see a lot of old ones. And running quarterbacks are like dogs that chase cars and long putts for pars. They don't last very long in the NFL.
That's not bad. I got to write that down. Dogs that chase cars.
There you go.
That's a good one.
Remember, a flute without a hole is not a flute, and a donut without a hole is a Danish. Ty Webb, Patty Shack.
Very good there.
I want to know what we said it yesterday too, Rick. But I want to know what they thought when they were sitting down with Johnny Manziel. Like what that interaction was like. You're sitting down with a player that has acted one way his entire career. He's been successful doing that. That they were just going to think all of a sudden, yep, he's changed. He's different now. He's not going to go do something ridiculous. I don't buy that at all. I feel like they vet these guys too much that it's even deeper than maybe we think it is. But that's just me coming from the baseball world and watching on the side. Yeah, what? So what?
No,
the guy goes out and has a couple cocktails.
John, I don't think you're wrong. I mean, look, I think we've all known that Johnny Manziel loves being a football star. But as you know, he's playing 162 games. It's a grind. And I have no idea if Johnny likes being a football player. And in the NFL, you got to love it. You got to love it, and you got to live it, and you got to want it. And if you don't, it'll never work. Same way in baseball, right?
Absolutely the same way. Yeah. When he came to San Diego a couple of years ago when I was playing there and threw out the first pitch when right after he had won the Heisman. And he said maybe that's where he'll be, Rick. He said he could play baseball no problem in the big leagues. That's what he told me. I love the confidence, but I laughed.
Say that.
Oh yeah,
It makes me laugh. Well, I could do this. Really? Then why didn't you do it?
No, I walked on in college, right? So I have the impression that I've given myself the belief in my head that literally anybody can make it to the big leagues. I look at where I was and what I ended up actually getting to the major leagues and playing with people like that. So when he said it at first, I thought for a second, no, this guy's a pretty good athlete. Then I heard him keep talking, and I'm like, man, 162 games, 16 is enough or 17 is enough for this kid. He ain't gonna make it. Wouldn't make it in this field.
You have to love the grind, and if you don't love the grind, it doesn't matter how talented you are. No matter what the sport is, you'll never succeed.
It's a Wingo Wednesday. Trey Wingo, ESPN Live host every Wednesday on the Damon Bruce Show. And, hey, Trey, thanks for your time. I know it's getaway day, but you guys never get a day off, so thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
You got it, guys. Have a great Thanksgiving, both of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.